Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mark Hammer. We're going to be answering your calls today. And, you know, we get all kinds of calls. We get calls about how great their marriage is and how wonderful it is to raise children. No, just kidding. Usually it's the opposite. It's, you know, I can't make this work, or how can I make this work? And, you know, one of the things that we talk about is when you have those big escalations in relationships, and, you know, maybe somebody is really upset, and instead of dealing with it or even having the ability to deal with something, they storm out or they throw something, or worse yet, there's physical abuse or an attack. But, you know, if you're in a situation like that, we do know the brain science now, or, you know, frontal cortex, I don't know all the legal terms, but it'll shut down in a state of, you know, you kind of get frozen. But I think if we can equip ourselves in those situations, like, what can you say if you're in a situation where the other person or the whole situation feels like it's getting out of control? What would you guys suggest? How can we prepare for that?
Yeah, so you're right, Becky. Something's happening in our brain. That's the neuroscience about it, right? There's a small part of our brain called the amygdala, and that part takes over. It's actually called the amygdala hijack because it hijacks your brain and it stops information from flowing to the prefrontal cortex, which is really the CEO, rational thinking part of the brain. And so, and all of those things that you mentioned before, storming off, hanging up the phone, you know, that's called reactivity. And so what we need to do is we need to learn how to create space between the stimulus, whatever is bothering us, right, and then the reactivity, what we normally would do, or the default mechanism for the threat. And so learning language is key to doing that, right? So having language for what is happening internally inside of us, and maybe learning to say something like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. I think I need a moment to gather my thoughts and compose myself. I'm going to be back in 10 minutes, and I'd like to talk about this then. Just simply having a phrase in your back pocket that you can memorize in those moments, I think, is key to creating that space.
So it's the idea of a timeout, right? Correct. So even if it's that you take a bathroom break, right? Or you just go outside, you're trying to break that reactive situation. Right. And you certainly don't want to keep pursuing somebody that's highly reactive, because they're letting you know by their reactivity, they're maxed out. They're at their limit, and it's kind of like backing a lion into a corner. You're just going to
get That's where it escalates,
attack, right?
Because we go to fight, flight, or freeze, right? And if somebody goes to flight and you back them into a corner, all they're left with is fight. And that's typically when things just explode and they go to the next level. And so it's learning early on to break in a healthy way.
What if you're the person who is slamming the door and just oblivious to it? Do you think that there are those people out there that don't realize that their anger is controlling them?
Absolutely.
They tend to blame the other.
But yeah, you're 100% right, Jill. It's usually you're responsible for my feelings because you made me do this. And, and it's really a self-awareness issue and an accountability issue, learning to take responsibility for our emotions and our reactions. Because otherwise, it's like giving somebody a remote control over us and they get to push whatever buttons and then... We react to whatever that is, right? So if you don't like people pushing your buttons, then take the remote control away from them, right? Which means you take responsibility.
Handle your own buttons.
Exactly.
Do you know how many of us are going to be using that illustration?
Yeah, it's a good
probably
one.
For the rest of our lives. That's great, Mark. Well, for more wisdom from Mark and Jill, stay tuned. We're going to answer some more calls. But, you know, it is always something. Let's figure it out.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I wish you could hear all of the chatter that we have in the break time, because we just solve all the world's problems. I'm just telling you, I'm going to use the remote control thing a few more times in this day, if not in future days. But now we're going to go to the controls of the phone, and we're going to talk with Danielle, who's calling us from Arlington, Virginia, listens on WAVA. Hello, Danielle. How can we help you today?
Hi there. I had a question. I am working through my relationship with my mom, and I've moved away from home for a year now. And my question is, in the process of me learning how to establish boundaries, how do I learn to trust her again if that trust has been broken? And I'm really having a hard time kind of reconciling our relationship.
That's great. That's great. Jill, let's start with you.
Danielle, how old are you?
32.
Okay. And so you've just moved away in the last year, but have you been out on your own? And has this been an... go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not really since college. I came back home, and right before I left, I want to say probably... maybe a year before, 2 years before the pandemic, my mom and I lived together. My parents have been divorced since I was 15. I've always lived with her and my siblings. My older brothers moved out on their own, and it was just her and I for a few years. And then my grandmother moved in, and we became her primary caregiver. And I guess where the trust was broken, or I should say, like kind of like that milestone moment, was during that season. I was under a lot of pressure. I was working 40 hours. I come home, my grandmother had dementia, and her day would start at 8 p.m. And so it was kind of a cycle of come home, go to work, second job, wake up, go back. And at that time, my mom unfortunately also came down with breast cancer. Thank God she did survive that, but her healing process was 6 months. And so it was just me taking care of her and my grandmother. And then the pandemic happened. I have siblings. My grandmother has other children. And what happened is I was also in therapy at that time and kind of learning that I was living in a survival mode. And a part of that process was me kind of being able to tell my mom, like, hey, I need help. And that was really hard for me to do up until that point. And I really can't recall a time before that when I did. And so I asked her for help. And she pretty much said, this is something you're going to have to just figure out. And there's a part of me that feels bad for even saying that to her, because she was in her own journey that I don't understand. But at the same time, the help that I was asking for was not from her. It was just giving me permission to have other people come in the house and help me. And again, I don't understand what she was going through, so I could understand her not wanting other people to see her like that. But for me, it wasn't even about her care, because I was going to, you know, remain the one doing that, because it was more intensive than my grandmother's. But I needed help with my grandmother, because she was very active. She had dementia, but she thankfully remembered who we were. It's just like certain things, like being paranoid and trying to leave the house and all that kind of stuff.
And Danielle, it's a lot to take care of people. I mean, everybody's all hands on deck. It sounds like a very critical moment. Go ahead, Jill.
Well, right. As a young adult, and you're trying to kind of launch your own life, but then the natural setbacks of COVID and all of that, and these family members. And so you really got thrust into the caregiving role. And it makes sense that your mom was also maxed out and struggling, and so not understanding, or maybe not even able to be there for you. And that's a hard thing.
So what's going on now, Danielle? So this was, I think you're saying, prior to you moving out. Now you've moved out and you're wanting to set boundaries with your mom. What's happening now?
Yeah, she is... We've had kind of several arguments since I've left, and they've been about different things. She just now told me that she thought that I left because I didn't want to be under her authority as a parent. And I 100% beyond shadow of a doubt that is not why I left. I left because I felt a strong urge for God to say, it's time for you to go and establish your life. That's all. It was not. Now, were there some circumstances, of course, like all the things that happened that made the push, I guess, a little bit more aggressive? Yes. But it wasn't like I'm leaving, because I told her, I said, I can live in your house and not follow your rules. You know, like, I don't have to move to another state to not do that. If that was an issue, you know, that would have happened a long time ago. So I think now it's like, whether it's a dating situation or whatever, she gets really upset if she feels like I'm not telling her things, if I'm not a part of her accountability, or she's not a part of my accountability cycle. Because I was telling her a relationship that I went through that I made some wrong choices, and I kind of told her after the fact, and she was just kind of saying, well, you know, whenever I try to tell you something, you get really defensive. And I guess maybe she doesn't realize, because I've actually told her the thing about when I lost trust with her, that I don't know why, but it's really hard for me to get past that in a way that I feel like I can trust you with the vulnerable areas of my life, because I honestly feel like,
you know,
Well,
Danielle, you are, it's funny because we hear from people like your mom all the time. And so it's great to hear from your side of it. You've got a ton of awareness. It sounds like you're doing the work, but I think the basic thing is, how do I stay in relationship with my mom? And how I'm, you know, in all of these kind of things. So Jill or Mark, how would you direct her to
I'm hearing too that your mom has really needed the relationship with you and perhaps feels abandoned or rejected in it. And, you know, parents love their children, and usually we really like them. They're some of our favorite people, and we want to stay in relationship. And so that letting go process can be difficult, because it can feel like an all or nothing. And so I hear your mom trying to like pull you closer and wanting to be more involved in your life. And for you, that's hard, because it's too much. So I think lovingly to tell her where you're at, and you're doing some of this, letting her know, Mom, this isn't a rejection of you. This is about me establishing myself as an adult, because you've done such an amazing job, you know, if you feel that. But giving her some things that are saying, I still want relationship with you, and you're an important part of my life, but that doesn't mean I'm going to share every aspect of my life with you, right?
Yeah, and you sound like you have a lot of strength here, Daniel. I love that you know, you're able to say, like, no, I didn't move out because I didn't want to be under authority of you, because I'm able to live with you and not be under your authority and follow your rules. And I think probably what's happening is some projection here, that your mom is struggling with not being in authority over you. And I think that's likely what is going on. But I mean, you're 32 years old. You know, you should be out there living your life, and you know, you know, it's okay for you to say, yeah, you're right, Mom. I don't want to be under your authority. I don't feel like I am, but I don't want to be. Are you? And, you know, I would maybe even answer that. Are you struggling with that? But I think, you know, you're on the right track here. It sounds like, you know, maybe what is, I'm wondering if maybe what's difficult for you is just kind of enduring maybe your mom's response or reaction, maybe is more a better word, to you holding the boundary with her and limiting her input in your life.
Yeah, I think that's true. Jill, I think we should send her Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. I think that might be a helpful book for you, Danielle. And if you think that your mom would be open to even a counseling session together, that could be helpful as well. Sometimes we just need a reset and have a new part of our relationship. But we're so glad that you called. We do think that you have some great insight there, and I hope that that's helpful. We're going to go to our next caller, who's Victoria, who's calling us from West Virginia and is a first-time caller. Hello, Victoria. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi there. Yes, I'm trying to find out whether or not I should be letting my daughter go, leave the home. She is 18, and she is she had a contract with me, and she didn't come through on the contract, and I gave her a lot of grace and still didn't do it. And she wants to go to the easy way out, which would be going to her father's. But that is a very bad idea. And I'm concerned, she didn't save money for the car, she didn't save money for the apartment, she hasn't been responsible with her money, or in the home. So I'm really concerned if I'm doing the right thing, because if she goes with her dad, I feel like that will be, his number one mission is to divide us. So, and she stopped seeing her dad 2 years ago. She was having mandatory visitations with the court system. However, she decided not to because on a visitation she woke up she fell asleep on a visitation, which she never did before, woke up feeling violated. There's a lot more history to go on, but essentially it's a really, really bad idea for her to go to her dad's. And I feel like by letting her go, I am kind of pushing her towards that, but she's also choosing not to be responsible with her money to save, to get an apartment, et cetera, or a car. So she's literally supposed to move out July 30th, and she has no car and no place to go.
All right. Well, Victoria, that is, you know, launching kids, it's a hard thing, but Jill, let's start with you.
Well, and Victoria, okay, she's supposed to move out in July. She graduated high school.
Yeah, she graduated technically in June 3rd, but she was out of high school since December. Like, she was done with all her work.
Great. And plans for after high school? Any further education?
She really
wanted
to go to college, but she is not following up with FAFSA to see how much she would receive. She hasn't really done a lot of research. I mean, we went to colleges, we checked things out, but we really want to find a Christian-focused, she wants to be a counselor for kids to go through what she went through to help others, and that's a wonderful thing. She also wants to minor in opera, but that's a difficult find to drive within driving distance of where we live.
Right. So, Victoria, let me just interrupt you. So she has some goals that she wants, but it sounds like there's a disconnect between what it takes to reach those goals. And I hear you, you've set up a contract with her, and she's not following through. And I wonder if there is this just a pushing against and needing to separate from mom, or is this perhaps that her brain works differently than yours? You sound like you're good with structure and you're setting up logical plans. But if she doesn't have a brain that follows a logical line of thinking, right, or if she has any learning issues or things that cause her to, like, get easily distracted or have a hard time with follow-through, this may be really difficult for her.
Right. We have tried to do testing, but nothing has come of it. They don't say there's any issue as far as a learning difference, but
looking at the differences between you and her and your personalities and the way you function in life.
Yeah, sometimes we're very different.
Okay, so that's important to take into consideration, because I'm hearing this all makes perfect sense and she's not following through and you're trying to give her grace. But what is going on with her? What is going on with her emotionally? What is making it difficult? She says she wants these things. Does she really want those things?
Right. Well, what I see across the board for her is the lack of responsibility or stepping up to fight for herself. And that's in every area. And it's been for a long period of time because of trauma, I think, in the past, and her not willing to tell anybody in counseling what happened and how to heal from that. And I think also she, you know, kind of wants things to happen for her rather than doing it. But I'm not sure, you know, if there is, like you said, some kind of a disconnect or whatever. But
okay, Victoria,
it seems very avoidant.
Victoria, hold on. I'm going to interrupt you because we got a break coming up. But we're going to come back to you after the break. And it is challenging because you certainly don't want her to be in an unsafe situation. But trying to help her find what her next chapter will be can be challenging when they just think it's going to happen. I mean, it should just fall into our lap, right? but I think you've got a good insight into this. We'll be back after this break and give you some direction.
Music. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, we have a nationwide network of Christian counselors and coaches to help you with whatever you need help with, and you can call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now, we are speaking with Victoria, whose 18-year-old daughter is in that in-between world of, you know, just adulthood, childhood, what to do, and we're helping her kind of figure out the best way forward. Mark or Jill, who wants to continue?
Yeah, so... Victoria, I'm totally here with you. Both of my kids just graduated, and we're trying to launch them right here too, right? And so they're not really adults, you know, in my opinion. I will clarify that, right? At 18, you know, so something of an oxymoron of being an adult and being a teenager, especially for like another year or two, right? And so, you know, so there's this term, right, emerging adults, and that's what they really are, is they need to learn how to kind of put on the adult clothing, put on the adult role to be able to get there. And our job right now is kind of shifting to, you know, from this kind of teacher role to this coach role where you're kind of alongside them and you're cheering them on and rah, 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 but you're not smoothing the way for them completely, right? You're giving them suggestions of what to do. And then, quite frankly, you know, life has to be the consequence, you know, because, you know, not all kids learn from other people's other people's stories. They have to make the mistakes themselves. And so I think some of that is going to likely have to happen for your daughter to be able to figure out what it really does take, especially as she starts to see her peers, you know, either getting jobs or going to school and doing their own thing here. And so I think for you, I mean, I totally hear the fear of, you know, do I let her go to her dad's house and dad could possibly be unsafe? But the other part of it is, how do you stop her from going there? And so what I would say here is just continue to strengthen your relationship with your daughter, because I heard that there was a fear that dad might turn her against you. And I think if you have this genuine relationship with her, it doesn't matter what somebody else tries to do, and people are manipulative, but that will resound strongly, that foundation that you have with her. But, you know, she may have to go ahead and go try it with dad to see that it's not really that much greener on the other side. And you may have to build a tolerance for allowing her to fail and recover, but just be there on the sidelines to kind of help coach her along and say, hey, if you ever want to return home, I love you. I want you to come home. I love you living here. But there are certain rules now, and things have shifted now. You've gone from high school to the next phase.
Right. The key kicker for the dad, he will not give her any boundaries, or and he'll give her whatever she wants. So it'll be a very easy way to go, and that's why she wants to go, she said. She knows there's red flags, she said, but it would be easy. And so that's what I'm seeing with her, you know, even with going to, we homeschooled, and it was like pulling teeth. And so she did do one class in college, and two classes, and one of them she passed, the other one she just couldn't turn in a paper, so she failed it. And so I'm just, I'm concerned, like, how much she would do if she were to spend the money to go into college, and I'm concerned that she wouldn't grow if she went with her dad. But I also don't want to go back at my word, because I said you have to be out by the 30th, and so...
And why were you telling her she had to be out by the 30th? She's 18.
Because I have an Airbnb in my house, and I expected her to keep common areas clean, and she refused to clean up after a week of asking her. And then I gave her 24 hours notice and said, by 8 o'clock tomorrow night, if it's not done, I'm giving you 30 days notice, and she still didn't clean it up. So she chose not to do what she needed to do, and I felt like it was like you didn't choose us.
Okay,
you know, after
right. But and perhaps you have had ongoing conversation with her. Have you really talked, instead of like just setting the rules and then she doesn't follow through, which at times you have to do that, what's going on inside of her right now? I mean,
she always claims that, you know, she... you know, she's never been diagnosed with ADD, but she has
very much.
She sounds
that
like
look
it.
To mm-hmm. her.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah.
And I do too. And her, I'm pretty sure her father does as well. So that's not at all surprising. But we have gone to see Your Time, which is a book, and we learned all about what you need to do. And I constantly remind her of what we learned, so that she could see her time and put things down. And everything is a fight, mm-hmm. you know, to try to just help her to do what she needs to do. And then I try to let her go for a while and see if she can, you know, fly on her own. And
yeah.
I see it's an absolute mess, so I fly in again and say, please.
Right, Victoria,
yeah.
We get it. We do get it. I would love, Jill, give her one or two steps that she can move towards.
Well, I think this is a really hard time with kids. And I will say, Mark, like you, I think, mentioned, it does make sense that she might want to try with her dad mm-hmm. because it's the parent that hasn't been there. Although with the feelings of being unsafe, that's a little bit confusing to me. Mm-hmm. Both of my kids did it, and both of them came back after a short period of time. And so it may not be the thing that you're fearing, right? It may actually show them what they need to know.
That's right. And it also can be an opportunity to reset your relationship with her, Victoria. Not I wouldn't want her to be unsafe, but I would also leave that door open so that if she's in a bad situation with him, she knows she can call you and come right back.
Yep.
And that can be a hard thing for you. I'm going to send you a copy of Doing Life with Your Adult Children by Dr. Jim Burns. And I think that can help you in this process. But if you need a counselor, too, we can get you connected. Maybe that can help you guys have a conversation. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us. We're taking your calls, and we are going to talk with Mariah, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas, listens on KWRD. Hi, Mariah. How can we help you today?
Hi. Can y'all hear me okay?
Sure can.
Okay, awesome. I'm in college, and I'm engaged. I'm going into my senior year of college, and we're planning on getting married in July of next year, so about a year. And my fiance is the most amazing man. You know, we started our relationship. We were friends. We had been friends for 3 or 4 years. We had church together. Right now, he is working in Abilene, so he's 2.5 hours away. But we attend church. My father is involved in the ministry, and so this is just how I was raised. One thing that has really been, it feels like an attack on our relationship by the enemy, and at the same time, it feels like it's completely our fault, which I'm sure it is. We have an issue with sexual immorality as far as premarital sex is concerned, and this is something that we've had many conversations about over the years. And it's just, it's really hard to try to walk in the way that God has called us to have this challenge presented to us. And he never pressures me to anything and vice versa. This is like a joint decision, but I know it's wrong and we both know it's wrong. And it has just been so hard to overcome. And I want to enter into our marriage as with pure hearts, if that makes sense. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a great question, Mariah. Mark or Jill, who wants to start?
So, Mariah, you and your fiancé are completely normal, right? This is not, and you know this, is not unique to you. And it is supposed to be hard, right? It's difficult. You love each other. You desire to be married. There is a drawing together that happens, right? There's a chemistry that wants to be fulfilled. And so it is a struggle. So if you weren't struggling, I would be more concerned. Now, that being said, it does take a lot, and especially in this day and age, because mm-hmm. Christian or not, people don't seem to think this boundary is important, right? Mm. And it's about setting up trust in your relationship. Trust in each other is part of it. But if what you're doing isn't working, right, then it's like rethinking, okay, what are the situations we're putting ourselves in? You have to give yourself, and you have to decide ahead of time, this isn't an option, because we want to be pure before God. We want to honor Him, and we want to start our marriage in that way.
When is your wedding date here, Mariah?
It's actually July 6th. So it's the first weekend in July of next 24. Year.
So yeah. 2024. Yeah, so a year. Yeah, so that's a year. That's a long time in the sense of learning to manage this struggle. And so, yeah, I think what some of the things what Jill's talking about here, right, is impulsivity and what we might call delayed gratification, right? And you know, mm-hmm. lots of times something will manifest in one area, and it really is, it's going to be true in other areas too. And so learning how to delay gratification and curb your impulsivity is something that would not just help this area, but will help other areas too in your marriage as you go forward. And so you've got a while here, and so you guys are going to have to figure out, right? I know that you want to spend time together, and of course you want to do that, but you're going to have to likely in order to, because it sounds like you can't just say no,
right?
You're going to have to figure out the situations that you're putting yourself in, and you guys are going to have to agree upon that. Like, we're not going to be alone together in the house, or we're mm-hmm. not going to be in the bedroom together. And some people may not get that, like Gio is saying, because lots of people just see no problem with this. But, you know, it's a moral issue for you, and it's heavy on your heart. And one good piece of advice that I heard a while ago is deciding to have your boundary actually before what you're actually comfortable with, because many people end up going past that boundary that they're comfortable with. But if you can say, you know what, we're going to stop here rather than here. You know, if you do end up, and of course I'm not, you know, you're not encouraging yourself to do that, but if you do end up crossing that, you might not go as far as you were intending.
And the difficult part with this too, Mariah, is that, and we all know this because mm-hmm. we work with couples all the time, if you're feeling this shame and guilt right now, mm-hmm. when you do get married, mm-hmm. and things will happen, because they always do, because that's what happens in marriage, you will feel like it's related to this choice.
Yes.
And yeah. That is so hard. I mean, especially when you're feeling it right now. And so this is kind of like the reason to set the boundary is so that we can have the best marriage beginning, and, you know, just that whole kind of concept. We don't want to start with guilt and shame.
Right.
Yeah, and that's something.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was just going to say that's something yesterday's Bible verse of the day was like, you know, your body is God's, and like mm-hmm. you're supposed to give your life as a living sacrifice. And I was like, I felt like I was violating something that mm-hmm. belonged to God. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to be 10 years into our marriage, and I love him and he loves me. And he's the one who told me 3 days into our relationship, he's like, we're going to get married. He's like, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry. And I was like, okay, like, I was like, God, if this is the man that you have sent to me, like, confirm that in my heart and my spirit. And he has over and over again. I just don't want to ruin something that God has given to me and have that blessing not taken away, but not fulfilled to the degree that God intends it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, Mariah, you confess it to the Lord, right? And you accept his forgiveness. And mm-hmm. then you realize that part of, once you have crossed that line, physically and emotionally, you're always going to be wanting to go back to where you left off. And so, but what you want to do is redirect it to emotional connection, because that's what gets sacrificed when you are sexual too early, the emotional connection that could have happened, right?
Yes.
And so you want to go back, and maybe it sounds like he's someplace else right now. So it's the talking on the phone, right? It's the talking about issues. It's really enriching and deepening and having those conversations instead of allowing the sexual to be a substitute for that.
Yeah, I heard someone say once that your relationship is only as mature as it is non-sexual, or as long as it went non-sexual, because it takes that sexual tension to be able to create motivation to work through challenges that you have in a relationship. And a lot of times, once you give that up too early, you know, that motivation is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mariah, we are going to send you a copy of How We Love, which will, and actually we're going to send you the workbook too. I think that would be something great for you guys to work on together. But also, we're going to connect you with a counselor, because your heart is breaking for all of these reasons. And this is a topic that is very hard to talk about with other people, but yet that's where you're going to get some freedom. Jill, you want to add something?
Well, also, there are a lot of churches that do premarital classes that I think can. I've known couples that have had great success when they've gone through a class, they've made a commitment to stop having sex because they learned, you know, more about it, and they've made that commitment in front of others.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I'd say after you do all that work, then you can move the date up. No, I'm just teasing. Well, I just am so glad you called, Maria, and we're going to help you in any way we can. In other news, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Hi, Larry. How are you today?
Becky, doing great.
And what do you got for us?
Well, I want to encourage the three of you. I found a testimony, and this is. And I want people to understand this is why we seek your support. I'm a retired physician. In recent years, I've listened to your program on days I've been at home. The care and advice you provide is so important, and it is so enlightening to learn it from Christian clinicians. In addition, I found information I could use when seeing patients in my office. Thank you for the work you perform and the lives you touch. New Life is a different type of ministry when compared to others for whom we support. It doesn't feed, clothe, or house people, but in dealing with the relational and emotional problems you discuss every day, you help save individuals and relationships, which is a need as great as our more traditional ministries. The work you perform is so important. Thank you for caring. You provide for the sheep of Jesus' pasture. And he signs it off, and he actually sent a nice gift. So,
nice.
If you would do the same thing, send us a nice letter and send us a nice gift, you could kill two birds with one stone. But thank you, everybody who's giving, and we do need help from time to time just to keep this thing going. We love it.
Well, and we help so many people, just like he said, in different ways, and then they go on and help people. It's just amazing. And by the way, no birds were killed in the promotion of New Life. We're just happy that you were giving. We'll be right back answering some calls after this. Thanks, Larry.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're so glad you joined us today. And we are going to go talk with Sally, who's calling us from Albany, Oregon, listens online. Hi, Sally. How are you today? How can we help you?
I'm good, thanks.
How can we help you?
Yes, please. Before I tell you what's going on here, I thought I might request a coach, perhaps.
We will get you connected with a coach.
Okay. But I have had a toxic marriage, and this went on for 11 years, and a daughter involved came along. And in our later years of the marriage, and the father was physically abusive to me in front of her. He was emotionally abusive to me, and also to her. She grew up. I have three grandchildren. She's married to a nice man. But unfortunately, there's no relationship with my daughter. And I don't know why this is going on, because of lack of communication with her. She doesn't seem to want to talk. She doesn't seem to want to do any have a relationship. She blames me. I had heard that sometimes 80% of people, children who go through this, blame the wrong parent. And he was very abusive. And I always tried to be a good mother, but I wasn't perfect. And I made some bad choices.
All right.
I filed that divorce, you know.
Sally, first of all, do you have a radio or something out in the back that you could turn down? That would be one question.
Yes, certainly. Yes,
and that's okay. And then, you know, is there, you want to have a better connection with your daughter and you're not able to. Is that what you're asking?
And my grandchildren.
And your grandchildren.
And my son-in-law.
Okay. Okay.
Hold on.
All right. Jill, how would you begin with this?
And it sounds like she's not able to see them at all. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So you're not able to see them at all, Sally.
No, I'm in a different state than they are.
Oh, okay. And has your are you able to have any contact with your daughter?
No.
No, none whatsoever.
No.
Okay.
And how long's that been going on, Sally, that you've had zero
for
contact?
Many years. Mm. There was a huge custody problem. He did not want to pay child support, and I was a school teacher, and I tried to make him do that through the courts because I felt like I was the responsible parent. And he was affiliated with the judge, and there was some kind of political favor. And when I showed up for court, she was put in a room with him and his mean lawyer, crooked lawyer. And I used a Christian attorney, and we got ourselves into a situation where he went in there and looked, but they wouldn't let me in that room. Plus, they wouldn't let me into a courtroom. I never had a trial. And there was some kind of payoff, I guess. And
so it's been many years. So, Sally, it's been many years. And you and yes. do you even know your grandchild or your son-in-law at all?
Well, the first one, I didn't know the child was on this earth. She never let me know until he was an older little baby. And let's see, one is adopted from China, and there's a little girl. So they're little pair steps, three of them.
How do you know about that, Sally? How do you know about all those kids?
There was some effort to reconnect again, and we tried that, and it failed. There was a lot of anger.
Okay. All right. Well,
we were screaming at each other, and you know.
Okay. Well, so we only have a few minutes, and we want to give you some
sorry.
Help. Jill, how about what are some steps that Sally can take in that direction?
Well, really, you're very limited because you have no contact, and so it sounds like. If you even have an address, you could perhaps write a letter to your daughter. And I would, Sally, own anything you can own, right? I would not over-explain your side or try to get her to understand you, but I would own the hurt that she has experienced. I would acknowledge what you think her pain is. And, you know, she has felt so strongly that she's had to completely push you away. So that means even though she may be erroneously blaming you, you have to look at that and be able to name anything that you think is remotely the reason why she would need to have such a rigid boundary with you. And just then expressing
lies.
The
lies. There are a lot of lies involved with the news.
Yeah, I'm sure there are, but if you go in accusing everybody of lies, then she may push you away because this is her reality that she has chosen to believe. And I think it's about saying, you know, I'm sad at the lack of relationship. And regardless of how we see things, I love you and I want relationship with you, however, you know, small that may be.
Yeah, I think a letter is a great idea if you have the address because then it doesn't get lost in a junk mail folder like an email might, or you might be blocked on social media, so it might not go through. I think it's a good formal way. And you know, we do have this tendency to want to defend or explain. Yeah. And I really would caution you against that. Really just own what, you know, you recognize the hurt to be and what you have done wrong. Because what will happen is, you know, hopefully as you build the relationship with your daughter, you'll get the chance later on to be able to maybe add in little bits of insight and explanations. Right. But don't do that in this moment. Just, I think, reach out with the intent of owning and recognizing her and hurt, and then saying,
having empathy for her.
I want to have relationship with you. I miss you. I love you guys. You know, what would you be willing to do, even if it's limited? Could I even just send my grandkids a birthday card or a Christmas gift? Right.
And, right. Start small.
Right.
Yeah. And Sally, you're establishing a new relationship because you haven't had one for so many years. There's a lot of pain, a lot of grief, and your own healing work will have to be in place so that when you do engage in a conversation, the reactivity doesn't start up again. And it's just part of the brokenness. I'm going to send you a copy of Forgiving the Unforgivable because I think that could be helpful in moving forward. And we will connect you with a coach or a counselor in your area. Hold on. You know, if you need any help, we're here for you. And we help lots of people every day find the help that they need, whether it's a coach or a counselor. And we can also help you understand the difference between the two of them. We've got workshops, we've got books, we've got great just places for you to interact with people in groups across the country. Whatever it is, we want to help you find the life that God has planned for you. Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Mark, for all you do to help us do what we do. And, you know, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And I would just encourage you, if you're listening and you know somebody that has never heard of us, tell them to tune in on a podcast or the radio program somewhere. We're on all kinds of radio stations. We're on a podcast. You can download that free app. You can watch us on YouTube. Whatever way we can help you, we want to be there for you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.